for the moment at least, and avoid Spain for the moment at least. And we're going to take a trip down to across the channel for myself and go down to France to talk a little bit of Ligue 1 football and, of course, PSG's draw in the Champions League and the French sides in the Europa League as well. I'm delighted to say that we have a very big PSG fan and a top-class French football reporter joining us on the line now, ready to have a chat about all things Ligue 1. He is a wonderful fella. We do enjoy having him around this, around at World Football Daily and on our airwaves. And I'm delighted to say that joining me now on the show from ESPN FC, French Football Weekly, and the voice of PSG TV, it's Mr. John Legos, John Legossip Johnson, joining us here on WFD. John, mate, pleasure to have you on the show, man. How you been?
I'm very well, thanks, mate. And yourself?
Very well indeed. We're all in the festive spirit at the moment here at World Football Daily. I'm hoping you're sat there in Paris with a Santa hat on as you speak to us right now.
I am indeed. I've got my Christmas sweater on as well.
Oh, fantastic. Is it one of those like really awful ones that everybody, including Premier League footballers at the moment, seem to be think is the current fashion for this time, like with a big Christmas pudding on it or something like
that? Yeah, it's like red knitwear with a reindeer on the front.
Very nice, very sophisticated, my man, I have to say. We will talk about your dress sense some other time, and I will shake my head disapprovingly at this point, but we will get into some of the news coming out of Ligue 1 at the moment, in particular obviously the big draw on Monday for the Champions League knockout stages. And what's been the reaction from PSG to their tie? Because it's not as bad as it could have been taking on Bayer Leverkusen, but it will still be a difficult job to go to Germany, and they're a side that have been in pretty decent form so far this year.
Yeah, I think everybody in France was quite happy with the draw, very pleased to avoid the likes of Manchester City and Arsenal. I think some people were actually hoping for what they saw as an easier draw than Bayer Leverkusen, you know, getting the likes of Zenit St. Petersburg or Galatasaray. But I'd reason that Galatasaray wouldn't be an easy draw given the state of the pitch when Juventus weren't there a week or so ago. So I think everybody's quite happy at drawing Bayer Leverkusen. And the main objective really going into the draw was just to not get drawn against the likes of Manchester City. But no, like you said, it's still not going to be a straightforward game against Bayer Leverkusen, a very good side, particularly domestically. They perhaps haven't shown it as much on the European stage, although did qualify as worthy runners-up in their group. But I think PSG need the step up in competition. They got a little complacent towards the end of their group, started off very very well. First three games, destroyed the likes of Olympiacos, Benfica and Anderlecht. And then going into the home game against Anderlecht, where they could have had the group sewn up and they would have been able to rotate the team twice instead of just once, as it ended up. I think they assumed that the hardest work was already done, and that's when Anderlecht surprised them. So they definitely need this step up in quality. For me, I think the most ideal draw would have probably been AC Milan. You get that mixture of glitz and glamour whilst it's still a very winnable match on paper. But I think that they can be very happy with Bayer Leverkusen, and it's definitely going to challenge them more than their group stage did.
Is that something that generally could affect PSG in any tournament that they're in at the moment? That complacency of when the smaller sides play them, because they are so far ahead from the majority of the teams in Ligue 1 right now. Of course, Lille and Monaco still pushing them at the moment, but aside from that, there's nobody else that you could see could pose any sort of a threat to them. And similar in Champions League football, it's still quite new and fresh, and so to keep an intensity to those games is important for a side that maybe it doesn't have that experience yet in Champions League football.
Yeah, I definitely think so, because I think there's certain players in the team who have plenty of Champions League experience. You've got the likes of Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Thiago Silva, Edinson Cavani's come into the team. You know, he's no stranger to Champions League football. But you also have newcomers, the likes of Luka Dean. I mean, he's not new completely to Champions League football, but a lot of these players, in terms of playing together on this stage, you know, have never played before. And I think that's where the players from last season's campaign will sort of benefit the team now, whether or not they're still in the starting lineup or not, because some of those players will have been there and done it already, going to the quarterfinals last year under Carlo Ancelotti, playing Barcelona, not losing in either game, and only just going out on away goals. I think they'll reflect on that experience last year in preparation for these games against Bayer Leverkusen. And I think there's definitely enough talent to reach the semi-final, perhaps even the final in this team. It's just a question of how far their chemistry will be able to take them, because, as you said, complacency does become an issue. I'm not sure it will become an issue against Leverkusen, and then after that, you'd assume that PSG are only going to face harder teams if they can get past the Germans. But in the league, yes, complacency does become an issue sometimes. We have PSG on the verge of breaking a couple of records in the last couple of weeks. They've lost out on the opportunity to do that now with a surprising defeat away at Evian a couple of weeks ago. And now there's there's less pressure on PSG because of not having these sort of the chance to break these records weighing down on them. They don't have those sorts of opportunities sort of weighing them down in the Champions League. So I think we'll see less of that complacency now in Europe, but perhaps conversely we might see it a little more in Ligue 1 as we continue the season. But at the moment, they haven't shown it all that often. They're still 2 points clear in the league, doing very well in the Champions League, topped their group. So I don't think complacency has become too much of an issue just yet for Laurent Blanc's side.
Do you think that that loss against Evian almost came at the right time? Yes, you know, they were, as you mentioned, they were close to breaking records, French football records, and would have been wonderful for them to do so. They're a team obviously that are playing so well, and you would have expected them to get past Evian, but having that kind of slip up before the Christmas break, or the league's Christmas break at least, it stops that complacency kind of breeding in over the downtime in Christmas. Nobody will be sat there thinking, well, we're almost untouchable here at Christmas time whilst they're enjoying a slight rest from the league.
Yeah, I think it probably did come at the right time. I think you could argue it would have been nice for the team to break the club record of invincibility, but I think perhaps breaking the record held by Nantes that was set back in 1994-1995 of 32 games unbeaten, I think it perhaps would have probably sowed that seed in their mind where they think that it doesn't matter how they play when they're on the pitch. Just these teams just aren't going to be able to beat them because of the sheer quality that PSG can now boast in their first choice 11 and arguably their second string. And I think not having the pressure on them to break all of these records is going to be beneficial. I just think it would have been nice to be able to break their own club record as a sign that, you know, this is the strongest team that PSG have ever had, because I believe that it is. Even though they had the golden era of the mid-90s, I think this team has potential to do things that side were unable to do. And I think that them breaking that record would have encouraged them to really try once again to break the Nantes record, but both of them are still up in the air for PSG to try and get, and I think that's what they'll try and do over the second half of the season.
Now, I've seen, John, that Laurent Blanc's got himself in a little bit of trouble after a reaction to a question in a press conference, basically patronising a female journalist, saying, oh, you do know what 4-3-3 is, don't you, love, kind of thing. What's going to be the fallout from this? It's never obviously good to see kind of sexist attitudes in football, and there are plenty of broadcasters that have paid their price over the last few years for such attitudes. I mean, will this be kind of overlooked against Laurent Blanc, or will people come down quite heavily on him, do you think?
Well, the interesting thing is that this is not really receiving that much coverage in France at the moment. Nobody's been talking about it. I think actually I've seen more articles in the English press about it than anywhere else. I think it's, as I understand it, it's not the first time the two have had a run-in and a similar exchange. I think it happened as well once when Laurent Blanc was in charge of the French national team. And then obviously you had the race quota scandal that he was also embroiled in. So he's not a stranger to being caught up in these situations, and he manages to get out of them a lot of the time. I don't think it's enough to cost him his career or his job at PSG. I think plenty of people will make a lot of the timing, the fact that Andrew Villas-Boas, the candidate who was believed to be PSG's choice ahead of Blanc, who eventually rejected the opportunity to come and coach the team in the summer, is now available, and people are wondering whether enough of a storm will be kicked up over this for Blanc to be dismissed and for Villas-Boas to come in. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that, if anything, it might affect the proposed contract that PSG are intending to offer him that would have been signed before Christmas. Perhaps now we'll see that come into play later on in the in the campaign, but I don't think it's going to be turned into as big a furore as people are making it out to be for the moment.
Do you think there is a chance that AVB could come in? That we know there's this option on Laurent Blanc's contract to be extended by another year into next season. But with AVB gone, he was a choice for PSG, but at the same time, hasn't succeeded at either Chelsea or Tottenham to an extent, and everybody's got their opinions on the reasons for that. Would PSG still be interested in someone like AVB? It would almost be like failing upwards if he did, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think it would be, and I don't think PSG would be interested at the moment. I think they'd be mad to part company with Laurent Blanc, these recent comments aside. I think that Blanc has shown himself to be more than capable of leading this side. He's tactically innovative. He's got them playing in a style that Carlo Ancelotti was just never able to do. In fact, he's got them succeeding in a formation that Ancelotti tried to get the players to play in and just wasn't able to. So there's so many reasons to be positive about Laurent Blanc. I don't think that PSG will now be looking forlornly towards Andre Villas-Boas and think that he's still a better candidate than Blanc. I think Blanc is the right man for this team, and I don't think many people would have predicted that they'd have been saying that at the beginning of the season, just after he'd been appointed. But he's won so many people over, not just with the style of play, but the way he handles the team, the way he rotates the players, gets the best out of everyone. I mean, you could argue that he's still perhaps not getting the best out of some of the peripheral players like the Jeremy Menezes and the Javier Pastores of the side. But I think, for me, Blanc is now the closest thing that PSG will be able to get to Arsene Wenger. They were desperate to try and prize Wenger away from the Emirates Stadium. I think it's obvious that that's now never going to happen. For me, even if it happened tomorrow, I think it would be too late in Wenger's career to come to PSG and really make the sort of impact that he'd want to make, because the changes that he'd be keen to implement would take the best part of 5 years to really come to fruition, at least. And I think that Laurent Blanc is PSG's best chance now of managerial stability over the next couple of years, and being able to couple that with success, not only in France, but also on the European stage as well.
As we're approaching, obviously, the January transfer window, and Jonathan, I do want to talk about both PSG and Monaco and potential changes there. But I want to ask you about Lille, because I think we do stay, especially because you're such a fan of PSG, very focused on them when we talk to you about French football. Lille, on the other hand, this is a side that's only scored 20 goals in its 18 games this season, but it is winning its games through just stern defence. And when we saw them at the start of last year, this is a shadow of the side that was falling all over the place and struggling so woefully at the back. This is an incredible turnaround for this Lille side. Is it as unexpected as kind of we're thinking here at WFD?
I don't think it was unexpected that they'd be harder to beat. I think one of the things that René Girard prides himself on is being able to construct teams with very, very solid defences. And I don't think it's any surprise that other teams have looked at the way that Marseille managed to finish second in the league last season by winning most of their games 1-0, and have then tried to replicate it. I think the thing that surprises most people about Lille is the fact that they lost so much star talent over the summer. Yeah, the likes of Florian Thauvin didn't even play a game for Lille, and then transferred to Marseille. That was a real surprise. And then you've got some more unknown players that came into the squad, and you've got the likes of Simon Kjær, who was brought in after some disappointing spells in Germany, and then his second coming in Italy didn't work out as well. And I think for me, it's a product of the team going into the season with very few expectations, and also being led by a very astute coach in René Girard. You know, he's very good tactically, led Montpellier to the title 2 years 2 years ago on a shoestring, basically. And I think he and arguably Vincent Enyema and the two central defenders this season, Marco Bacha and Kjær, have been the main reasons for this Lille's team's success. I mean, as you mentioned, they're not scoring that many goals. Salomon Kalou is never going to be a prolific goal scorer. He's not going to get you into the 20s. He did very well getting over 10 last season. He's not an out-and-out goal scorer, and that's arguably what Lille lack, and that's why they won't challenge for the title. They're in third at the moment and looking very good for Champions League qualification. But I think that, for me, the main reason for this success is Enyama because he was brought in by Rudy Garcia, told that he wasn't going to be first choice goalkeeper for the team, was allowed out on loan to Israel, and then came back and has now made himself the undisputed number one for Lille. And he looks an outstanding goalkeeper. And what amazes me the most is just that he's never sort of had this recognition within Europe, at least not until the astounding run that ended a couple of weeks ago at Bordeaux that could have seen him break the all-time clean sheets record in Ligue 1. So for me, I think Girard is definitely one of the reasons for Lille's success. But you've also got to pay credit to Vincent Enyama and Marco Bascher and Simon Kjær. Bascher in particular is a very, very underrated player in Ligue 1.
Who would you take then? Because I noticed French Football Weekly has been raving about Sirigu at PSG. Who would you rather have, Enyama or Sirigu, in between the posts?
It's difficult because both goalkeepers are very good. Sirigu is an excellent shot stopper. I think he's perhaps questionable in terms of his aerial ability, and I think he prefers to catch the ball to punch the ball rather than catch it at occasions, and that it does get frustrating every now and then. I think Enyama is a better all-rounder and perhaps more reliable, but Sirigu has also been excellent for PSG, so I don't think they have any reason to be unhappy with the Italian in goal. I think the worry for Lille would be another big team, perhaps not in France but somewhere else in Europe, looking at Enyama and thinking that they can prize him away with a reasonable offer of, say, I don't know, 5 million euros, maybe a bit more, between 5 and 10. He's recently signed a contract extension until 2017, and if he stays until the end of the season, I think there's a good chance that Lille are going to be qualifying for the Champions League.
John, moving to Marseille quickly as well, all changed as well. Eliabel gone a week or so ago, and Jose Anigo, the caretaker manager at the moment. Are we going to see any other changes? Is Anigo going to be given the opportunity to carry this through to the end of the season before another manager is brought in, or are there plenty of names springing about the place at the moment in French football for somebody to take over this role?
Well, there have been a number of names linked with the post, and I think the most interesting coach to have been linked with Marseille is actually Marcelo Bielsa. I think that would be an excellent pickup for Marseille, who played some fantastic football at Athletic Bilbao. In fact, there are some fans of the Basque club that still long for him to be in charge because of the style of play that they had. And I think that he'd be an excellent appointment for Marseille. What I think is going to happen is that Anigo will be in charge of the team up until the Christmas break, and a decision will then be made on the coach going into the future. Marseille are a team with excellent potential. There's some very good, talented players there. I think their exploits in the transfer window last summer were perhaps a little... uneven. They should have probably invested more in the defence and less in the same sort of players going forward. You've got the likes of Thauvin and Payet in the same side, two very similar players, and I think that to get the best out of them, you arguably play one or the other, and you can't also accommodate the likes of Imbula, who was also brought in the midfield, as well as Mario Lemina, who arrived from Lorient. And I think now, looking ahead to the January transfer window, the first priority is to bring in a coach and a big name if possible. I've noticed that André Villas-Boas has said that he'd love to coach in France, and for me that would be a very interesting appointment because I think it's a club with great potential, especially once the stadium is finished being built. I think arguably if any other big money investors were looking at the success of Paris Saint-Germain and the potential success of Monaco, they would look at Marseille and think there's such great potential there to build a team that can go on and enjoy success in Europe, that they might be ripe for investment. But until that happens, I think that Marseille could still attract a high caliber of coach. It just depends on how much money they're prepared to invest in it. I can't see Anigo sitting out the season in the dugout. I think they will definitely go for somebody else to come in and replace him, probably before the season gets underway again in January. But the big question is the investment going to be forthcoming in order to attract somebody to the club, or are they going to go for the sort of cheaper domestic option?
Just finally, Jonathan, because we need to wrap things up, I am desperate to talk to you quickly about the potential changes in the transfer window coming up in January. We're so close to it. Monaco, will they keep hold of Falcao? There's so many rumours still flying around about that. And are we going to see any more big moves from the big two in terms of players coming in, do you think, into France?
Yeah, I think we can definitely expect to see a couple of moves. It wouldn't surprise me to see Monaco make an early move for Eliaquim Mangala from Porto. I think they've got an obvious hole in their defence that they need to fill. And for me, Mangala would be the obvious replacement. You've got the likes of Ricardo Carvalho and Eric Abidal there. Two solid players with excellent levels of experience, but starting to show their age now, and they're looking a bit creaky at the back. The signing of Nicolas Isimat-Midin hasn't worked out. He arrived over the summer from Valenciennes. There's potential for him to perhaps be loaned out come January. So I think there's definitely scope for Monaco to be in the market for a defender. So much of what they do in the transfer window, though, will depend on Falcao. He's saying the right things and that he wants to stay at the club and that he's very happy. Claudio Ranieri, too, saying that he believes Falcao is happy in Monaco, happy with the team. And he's just giving him time to get over an injury that was supposedly picked up on international duty with Colombia. I don't think we'll see Falcao move in January. I think there's too much for him to lose personally, and the club can't afford for their project to be undermined so early on by losing a player of Falcao's caliber, despite how much money they could make in a potential transfer fee. In terms of whether we see any other additions to the big two, I think PSG will be in the market for a creative midfielder. It wouldn't surprise me to see them go back in with another bid for Juan Mata. They were unsuccessful towards the end of the summer transfer window. I think they'll definitely go back in for him. Perhaps the likes of Johan Cabaye. There's also whispers that they will try to make an early bid for Paul Pogba in order to keep him out of the clutches of Real Madrid. So much of that, though, will depend on what happens with Blaise Matuidi's contract situation. There's a bit of a dispute going on between his current agent, Mino Raiola, and his former one, Jean-Pierre Bernés. Once that gets resolved, Matuidi will sign a new contract with Paris Saint-Germain that's been on the table since the summer. But the longer this goes on, I think people are now starting to get a little bit worried that he might be poached by another team on a free transfer before they can get this matter resolved. And if that happens, then I think we'll definitely see PSG making a move for Pogba. But assuming that Real Madrid don't make a bid, then I think we'll see PSG wait until the summer.
Plenty of changes then for Monaco and PSG. I'm sure you'll be putting a big smile on Monaco fans' face, though, with your prediction that Falcao won't be leaving. We'll be talking about him later on in the show today, but for now, Jonathan, a big thanks to you for joining us here on World Football Daily, mate. We always appreciate you taking out some time out from your day to join us, and I'm sorry I've taken up so much of your time as well, man, but it's a pleasure to chat as always, and have a very good Christmas and a happy new year, mate.
Not a problem, Ollie. Same to you and the guys as well. Have a great Christmas, happy new year, and I'll speak to you in 2014.
We will catch up in 2014 indeed, Jonathan. Take care, mate, and have a very good new year. Jonathan Johnson there joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things French football and giving us the lowdown potentially on some ins and outs from PSG and Monaco. The French Liga title race, there are three teams separating themselves from the rest at the moment. Bordeaux, though, maybe out of the Europa League, but they are 9 points in that UEFA Cup spot behind Lille. PSG top, Monaco 2 points behind, and Lille just 4 points behind PSG. Lille with that stellar season, conceding just 6 goals so far this year. Absolutely.